Take this, for example. I know he's adorable, but Muffin, that's his name, he was unwrapped a couple of Christmases ago by a friend of mine called Martin. Martin is not what you'd call a dog person. He lived in a sick four bachelor apartment in Greenwich, absolutely spotless. And Muffin wasn't just given to him by anyone. No, Muffin was given by his fiancée. We'll call her Isabel, not her real name. She might want to remain anonymous. She could be here tonight. This is not a maneuver we recommend in marriage preparation classes at All Saints Peckham. And already on Boxing Day, it was close to being, for Martin, a Muffin or me moment, if you know what I mean. His spotless apartment in Greenwich was no longer spotless. There was a suspicious stain on the lounge rug. There were canine tooth marks in his Apple iPhone. But Isabel said he just looked so adorable yesterday in the pet shop. She knew it might have been a mistake. Fast forward on a couple of years. Amazingly, miraculously, I have to say, they are now a successful ménage à trois. No kidding. They did get married. Martin gritted his teeth. He was converted. His heart softened. He takes Muffin for walks. He's even got a whole new social network amongst the dog walking fraternity in Greenwich Park. The very first Christmas gift, the theme of this service, has something in common with Muffin. Ah, I was wondering where the connection was, you were thinking. This first ever Christmas gift, like Muffin, this too was a little bundle of flesh. This too was a gift that was not universally welcomed. This too was a gift that nearly broke a beautiful engagement. As Martin divides life into BD, before dog, and AD, after dog, and it's fine. So the history of the world is divided in similar fashion. Before Christ, and for some reason in Latin, maybe to give it more gravitas, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. And Jesus, when he was born, interestingly, it wasn't in Latin, and he didn't have gravitas. He was born as down-to-earth a person as you can get. And some of us here would describe our lives as being BC, before we thought that Christ could have any relevance or meaning for us, when we thought he was just religious or something to do with dogma, which means a religious statement. We get our word dogmatism from it. And for some of us, we couldn't see how that fitted into our life any more than Muffin can fit into a sixth floor Greenwich apartment. And then AD, the year of the Lord, when we found that he did, when we discovered that Christ is for life and not just for dogmas. Think about it. Jesus was God in the flesh, God down to earth as you can get. He is born covered in blood. I know this. I'm an expert in midwifery. I was there at the birth of our two daughters. He dies covered in blood after a tortured death on a cross. And he lives in between as a man of flesh and blood, reaching out to any who would reach out to him. A woman caught in adultery, just about to be executed. A man called Jairus, whose daughter is dying, a rich young ruler looking for a purpose in his rich young life. People who in different ways have come to the end of their own resources. The light of the world, represented by a candle here, comes down into the mess and the muck, the muddle and frankly the mystery of life. And Jesus told a story of this presence of God, the light of the world coming into the metal and the muck, like somebody being in a field and stumbling over treasure, like buried in the muck. Goodness, I knew I'd put it somewhere. And finding treasure that he went away and sold everything he had. So precious was it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Like a man who discovers that in that field of rocks and mud, there's something beautiful to be found. I don't know if I'm the only one here who is a big fan of the Christmas letter. Do you still write that? No, we're a dying breed. In the Christmas letter, here's what you're meant to put. You put the highlights of your last year. That's what you put in it. Like the candle here. But as you look over your last year, if you were to try and describe it in a Christmas letter, you might want to miss out all of the stuff here, the mess and the muck, some of the real struggles you've been through, just as Gemma was talking about. We like to put in just the highlights. And if I was to try and write my Christmas letter, it would probably be best just with five words. In all the different great stories I could tell, that wouldn't really mean much to you, because you had to be there. I was back in January with my mum and my wife. She's called Rutli. We were in a hospice, and there was a sense in the hospice where we were visiting my dad that God was there. You couldn't define or describe it. You definitely couldn't prove it. You had to be there. It's what some people call a thin place. Do you know what I mean? Where people have done a lot of praying. Maybe not in faith, but certainly in desperation. A thin place. God was there. You had to be there. And as we were with my dad, we knew that this may well be his last day on earth, because his usually razor-sharp memory was failing him. And we were having this conversation for some reason about who won the 1962 World Cup. Couldn't remember. Dad really didn't know. And from the next bed, which was surrounded by curtains, Dad's neighbor, a fellow cancer sufferer called Arnold, the disembodied voice from behind the curtains shouted out he'd been earwigging our conversation about who won the World Cup in 1962. We heard Arnold's voice. It was West Ham. You might say, with justification, that wasn't God. That was Arnold. And besides which, God probably knows that Brazil beat Czechoslovakia 3-1 in the 1962 World Cup final. You had to be there. As we sort of cracked up, just got our funny spot, we've got a strange sense of humor in our family, and we felt God knows that the best tonic for us in that place, on that day, on Dad's last day, was probably Arnold shouting out West Ham. We didn't even know they'd been playing. God is Emmanuel, God with us. And the us are not people particularly religious or a spiritual elite. He is with anyone who would reach out to him. Whether it's in a hospice, sometimes even in a church, in the high streets, in hospitals, in workplaces. He's there like treasure stumbled over, half hidden, buried in a field. At the end of every service at All Saints, we offer prayer to this God, the God with us, Emmanuel. For whatever bits of muck and mud, muddle, mess, or mystery people want to bring to God, just in case for some of them, he might be there. And we find he is. We find he is. If anybody would like to do that privately tonight, at the end of this service, in just a few minutes, as mince pies and mulled wine is served, if you wish to, you can come up and take some of the mud, symbolically representing anything that's needing some hope or restoring or healing or just some light in your life. You can take it from the mud bag and give it to the light of the world, committing it to God. Or if you'd like somebody to pray with you, our prayer team would be over there. And in the new year, we are gathering, some of us, for something we call meet-up in the Victoria Inn. If you're religious and you really like dogmas, this is probably not for you. But it's a conversation simply to talk about the God who is there. You don't have to be. But if you would value a conversation with one another, and even conceivably with God, you might like to take that invitation and come along in the new year. A conversation with the Christ who is for life, and not just for dogmas. Have a very happy Christmas.